We are in the midst of container time at MSC, and it's been a, I always find a delight to be able to work with the fellows that I do. They all happen to be from the Gospel Hall. They're all retired. Some of you may have met them when you were there, I'm not sure. One is the retired staff inspector for the Toronto SWAT team, and the other is... he's retired from Bell, and he was their senior safety inspector for Bell Canada, at least in the province of Ontario. And the third one, he's retired from the refrigeration air conditioning, and he was the troubleshooter for anything that they couldn't figure out, that he would go all across Ontario to troubleshoot when one of these servicemen couldn't figure it out. So sometimes I don't feel very smart among a elite group like that, but the Lord has us working together. At the moment, we have an aircraft engine that's going to Chitokoloki for the plane there. You remember Jay and Katrina lost their lives in a plane crash there about a year and a half or more ago now, but they required another plane. And there's another aircraft engine coming for Bruce Poitevin, which that airplane is at Killeany. Both these planes are used to fly missionaries around or people to hospital and things like that. That's not very often we get an aircraft engine, but we know that there's some more items coming. Our warehouse is a good corner, but all filled with donated hospital equipment, operating table, gurneys, you name it. Special hospital equipment that is out of date here or needs to be upgraded, but is going over there, been donated by hospitals in the Guelph-Waterloo area. And I also know that we're going to be receiving some sheet metal from somewhere, and it's going to the Sikeji School, Mission School. I guess they're having some problem with leaking roofs, so they decided they would order some music when the rain falls on it, that's for sure. Sheet material from here, and so we're going to be loading that on the container. We actually load on Tuesday. We have a number of men come by, and we have a good time. I usually have to take them out for lunch, so that's, you know, maybe to the Mandarin or someplace like that, so we have a good time. The Lord is good. He's, you know, it's a delight to be able to serve the assemblies across Canada in doing this, and not only Canada, but the United States. All of the material from the west up to the Thunder Bay that goes to Portage La Prairie, where Dennis Walker looks after a container. They'll be loading at the end of May, or the beginning of May, actually. And they load one every spring and every fall, and we load about two or three, sometimes four in the spring, and also the same amount in the fall. So it's not a small work, and there's takes people like yourselves, dedicated, and it's coming right across, as I say, from the East Coast, Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York. It all comes in to our warehouse in Toronto. So it's not a small work, and you're part of a bigger picture. I was talking to Gord Hanna through email and asking him a number of questions, but one of these things is that their hospital in Chitokoloki, it services probably an area of about 500 kilometers. People actually come from days just to be operated on or go to the hospital. Dr. David McAdams is the medical doctor from Ireland who works at that hospital. He will actually be in Ontario, I believe it is next month. The Gospel Halls have a missionary conference at Langstaff Gospel Hall, and he will be one of the speakers there. It's interesting to note that some of his Irish counterparts in the past have come to Chitokoloki and have come with the idea that they would help him in upgrading his knowledge on some of the latest operational procedures and things like that. What happened was that he was the one that was more updated than they were, because he's always on the internet, he's always studying, trying to update himself, and he covers everything. You can imagine in a hospital like that, whatever comes in, he looks after. And it's not just specialized, but of course he's got a wide range of skills that he needs for that point. The reason for the boxes, particularly to these hospitals, there's five in Zambia. There's Chitokoloki, Dipolata, Chivuma, Kalani, and Laloma. So they are, well, from what I heard, Gord said that the government gives them about $3,000 a month to operate a hospital. Can you imagine? I don't know what kind of a budget would be required here. However, it is the stuff and the items that come in on the boxes on these containers that they will actually exchange for food and produce that they use to feed the people in the hospital and stuff. And so Ruth Hanna will sometimes have lines up people with arms full of produce, and they will have given her the list to say, we would like a sweater or pants or a pair of shoes or something like that. And at Chitokoloki, and this is not the only place, they would have what they call the mall, where all of this stuff goes into and it's dispensed to the people. The closest grocery store is about from here to Sault Ste. Marie. And you don't find a mall to be able to buy these kinds of things. So it's very necessary that these items get over there, and it helps in delivering people from their infirmities. But at the same time, every morning and every afternoon or evening, there's devotional through one of the local national who's minister to these troubled folk in the hospital. Just this past week, we received 20 medical kinds of mattresses from Bethany there in Unionville. We've got to pick them up on Wednesday. And again, it's just the Lord's people just keep bringing this stuff in. So it's a delight to see the church working together in regards to all of these things. That's just an update. That's not my message, of course. You know, I got listening today and talking to a number of folks, and it seems like most of us, and some of us, were looking towards these end days, but knowing that heaven isn't far away. Some of our fellow believers are suffering for the Lord, suffering in the Lord. Physical infirmities and things like that. So I decided maybe, you know, I'd talk a little bit about heaven tonight. It's always a pleasant subject in one sense. And in a way, it's, well, there's a lot of things that would go through our minds, but I don't know when the last time it was that you might have heard a message on heaven. We think we know about it. Well, we probably do. It's a delight for us to be able to anticipate being with the Lord. But we'll just go through some of these things as we look into the Word of God. But let's pray before we do. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the faithfulness of these, your people who are here tonight. And Lord, we pray for some of those who were not able to be here as well, some through sickness, some through work, whatever, Lord, that you would just bless them where they are, that you would encourage their hearts this evening. And Lord, just thank you for who you are and for what you do for us, and for particularly for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ through Calvary. Through his name we pray. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. And we read as follows, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you go, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you such a long time, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works themselves. Now let's go a little further to verse 25. I have spoken these things to you, being present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said to you, I go away and am coming to you again. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens you might believe. I shall no longer speak many things with you, for the ruler of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father has given me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go away from here. There are two phrases here that sort of bookend this chapter. The very first words in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And the words in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled. We're not troubled. Not if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. Don't you like the fact that the Lord has been preparing a place for you and I for over 2,000 years? Quite a place, I would say. I mean, he created the world in 6 days, didn't he? Just like that. And I like that little phrase, you know, and he created the stars also. Didn't take him anything. But he's been preparing a place for you and I for all of these years. Let not your heart be troubled. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And if the Lord says something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. What is heaven? What is heaven to you? Well, heaven in the simplest terms, it's a place of everlasting bliss. Well, we know, too, that is a place where we will be with Christ. We will be apart from sin. There's a number of things that we'll go through tonight. But who inhabits heaven? God himself, of course, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. And that was the exhortation during the days of Israel. Israel knew who God was, but Israel today may not know who God is. They certainly do not necessarily know who Jesus Christ is, Yeshua. But yet, God is reaching out to those people, and he's reaching out to us, the Gentile nation. So God inhabits heaven. Christ inhabits heaven. We see that in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 and 24. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. God and Christ, and of course the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 139, verses 7 to 8, Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. You can't escape, no matter what. Far better to be in heaven with the triune God than it is to be lost for eternity. You know there's going to be angels there, right? Matthew 18, verse 10 says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. I don't know if you remember that song years ago. Children talk to angels, at least that's what they say. Children talk to angels almost every day. I saw two little children, something went out to play, walking across the boardwalk, and there I saw an angel. He was standing straight and tall. Those aren't the exact words, but, you know, I think of that song often when you see your grandchildren at play or whatever, and they're out playing around. We all have an angel. Have you experienced that sometimes, if you think back in your own life? We have, and I think I might have mentioned the stories before. Having come to a corner, having stopped well back of the corner, and someone asked you, my wife or whoever, why did you stop here? And no sooner had that been said when a car failed to negotiate the corner and would have hit us right where we would have been. That at least happened twice in my life. There's other points of when we see that God intervenes on our behalf to preserve our life. You can probably tell me stories that it would thrill us to know how God looks after us through his guardian angels. And you know, aren't you glad that God's people are going to be there? And that's in Hebrews chapter 18, verse 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the saints of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The firstborn who are registered in heaven. We're not there yet, but if you believe Jesus Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have an entry into that wonderful place of everlasting bliss, everlasting in the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not going to be certain things in heaven. Now, you think they're negative, but there never are. If there's not, it's not in heaven, it doesn't matter. Be glad it's not there. And there's a purpose for it, isn't there? First of all, in Matthew 20, verse 30, we see that there are no marriages in heaven. And of course, the Sadducees were asking about the seven brothers. Whose wife will she be? He said, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. Our relationship won't be an earthly relationship. It'll be one that's out of this world when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We were bought with a price. We were the bride. He loved us. You know, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. We can imagine. Be better than what we imagine. And of course, there will be no death in Luke chapter 20, verse 36. Nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Jesus is risen. We just celebrated Easter, and because of that, we too are alive in him. Oh, we'll see a physical death, of course, but there won't be any death then. Not going to be any flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, but this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. We are going to change in the twinkling, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when we see him, we will be. We'll see him as he is, but we'll have that glorified body. I think that we see the Lord. He was able to go through walls and be with those whom he loved. And the Lord's going to take us home, but we're going to leave behind our body, aren't we? Our soul and spirit will go on to join our heavenly Savior. There will be no corruption. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:42-50, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Nothing of the sort. No corruption. No weariness. No weariness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn with that, turn to that. Verses 1 to 10. Second Corinthians 5, 1 to 10. For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Remember that surety that I mentioned this morning? So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, having whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Always confident, verse 6, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We have that confidence. It says, confidence. Here at home, now we have that confidence because we will see Him. God cannot lie. I just have to share this. John Adams, I don't know if you know him, he's a man in his mid-90s, and I visited him this week, and that earlier that day I'd called him, and he told me he wasn't my friend anymore, because we were joking around, he's like that. And then he said on the phone, he said, talking about what he just told me, he said, a lie is an abomination to the Lord, but a very present help in time of trouble. I just chuckled to myself. Typical of John, you know. A man who has served the Lord faithfully, and he's with DNS, Distributing the Needs of the Saints. He's getting weaker, he's getting more frail, but he has a heart of love for the Lord and for the Lord's people. A great encourager in the Lord for those younger than he is. No weariness in heaven. There's no sorrow, and that we know. Revelation 7, verse 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No pain in heaven. Revelation 21, 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The former things have passed away. Aren't you glad of that? My goodness. We're looking back on this life, and there are former things already, because we know we'll be with Him where He is. Let not your heart be troubled. Revelation 22:3 says, there be no curse. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. You know, it surprises me sometimes when I ask some people who I think know about the truth of God's Word, and we start talking about the mark of the beast. Some don't really know or have never been taught regarding that. That's the last thing you'll want to be found. Some on the forehead, some on the forearm, but we shall have His name on our foreheads. What better way to be branded than with the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ? You know, they brand cattle, they know whose they are. We're already joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We already are seated with Him in the heavenlies. So we might as well take a further identification mark. No night. No night. Revelation 22:5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light from the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Ross, you mentioned you enjoyed the sunshine today. We all did. And it'll be brighter. It'll be brighter. There's no end to eternity. There's no end to heaven. Revelation 22 or 25, verse 46. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. In a way, that's sad, but in a way, it's compelling as well. Where will some of our families spend eternity? There's only two choices, two destinies. And yet some people just seem to. Nothing to do with God and the one who loved them. You know, you ever realize that when God created the world, he spoke to the mountains and he said, rise up into the valleys, drop down into the rivers, don't go past these banks to the ocean, don't come any further ashore. And they all obeyed him. And Jesus, when he calmed the waters and they obeyed, peace be still. And yet man can turn to God and say no, and completely turn their backs upon him. For all of creation groans and travail, but God looked at it when he created it and said it was very good. Yes, we are under the curse, but nature still obeys him and is at his command. People with free will, created in his image, can still renounce, reject, ignore their creator. So what are some of the positive things about heaven? Well, of course, in Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10, it's joy. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And rest. Revelation 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. There's joy, there's rest, and there's peace. Luke 16, 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. It's probably one of the saddest stories in the scripture, if you ask me. Rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus died, he went to the bosom of Abraham. When the rich man died, there was a gulf set between, he could see. And he was thirsty. And all he wanted was for Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. It's not a very good picture, but I'll tell you, Lazarus was in peace. And of course, the story, Christ told the story. There's truth in it, obvious truth. There's going to be righteousness there in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Who is our righteousness? What are we clothed in? It's his righteousness. That's right. It's going to be there. As sure as you are sitting on that pew tonight. Service, Revelation 7:15, 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They call it service, but I'm just wondering if there's a better name. It won't feel like service to glorify and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll be humbled, definitely humbled, because we are not worthy, yet he made us worthy through that precious blood. And so to serve him as Christ served his heavenly Father will be an absolute delight. There's going to be reward in heaven, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all evil of manner against you falsely for my sake. Says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before me. Suffering for Christ, there's a reward for that. Can't imagine some of these folk who are losing their lives even as we sit here because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They're being tormented, they're tortured, they're losing their lives. There's a crown of suffering, isn't there? I know that there'll be great reward. And you know, if we get a reward, where's it going to be? It won't be on our heads, but it'll be cast down at the Savior's feet. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. an inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day." You know, if there's any verse that we should have, it should probably post that up somewhere. "An inheritance which is incorruptible through the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ." And what is that that incorruptible inheritance? It's undefiled. It's pure and holy. It doesn't fade away. It's going to remain in its full luster no matter what happens. It's reserved in heaven. You have a reservation here. Sometimes we lose it, depending on what. But, you know, we'll never lose that reservation because we will be with Jesus Christ if you know him as Lord and Savior. And we are kept by the power of God through faith. Kept by the power of God. Quite a power, isn't it? He spoke the world. You know, I laugh at these evolutionists. They take millions of years to see this earth. And my God was a little slow. He did it in 6 days. He is powerful. He is powerful. He spoke, and he set the sun. He spoke in the moon and the stars. And we are kept by that power. Romans says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate us. And there's going to be glory there in Romans 8, verses 16 to 18. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Suffering is. But the glory is going to far surpass that. Probably something like a mother in child labor, suffering, but then when she sees her child, all the suffering is past. And must be something else to be able to realize that. So there is joy, there is rest, there is peace, there is righteousness, there is service, there is reward, there is inheritance, there is glory. And what about an entrance for? We know that the entrance is for the righteous. Of course, that is in Matthew 25, verses 34 to 37. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?'" And you know the story. But I'm always reminded when Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So the question isn't, do you know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? But the righteous will enter. The changed will enter. 1 Corinthians 15:51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Looking forward to that. Of course, John 3:5, 18, 21, the saved are going to be there. And Jesus said, Moses says, "Surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But he who does the truth comes to light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Ever think about Nicodemus? He was a pretty smart cookie. He was pretty smart. He was one of the Sanhedrin, and the religious rulers of his day. He knew all about being born. But yet when Christ told him he must be born again, he said, "How can a man be born again and enter his mother's womb?" He'd missed the point. But I'll tell you one thing. He was saved, thoroughly saved. And can you imagine later on when he gave up the new tomb to lay Christ's body in. That must have been something for him. Probably one of the men I'd like to talk to would be Nicodemus. And when he talked with the Lord. So we see that the righteous, the chains, the saved. What about the called in 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Making your call and election sure. Well, there's no surer place than to know that we have come to a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who called us with an everlasting love into an everlasting kingdom, to an everlasting covenant. Overcomers shall go to heaven. Revelation 2, 7, 10, and 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcoming. Who do we have to overcome? The enemy of our souls. Prince of the power of this world. You know, someone told someone else that they were always being troubled by Satan, working on them. And so the other person said, if Satan calls again, don't answer the door. You ask the Lord to answer the door. Luke 10, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So those enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. The obedient will be there. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. The narrow gate. The one way, Jesus Christ. Then there are those that are holy. Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. We are only holy because the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Scripture says, be holy, for I am holy. What should our attitude be towards this, just briefly? We are given a foretaste of heaven in Acts chapter 7, 55 and 56. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And you know the reaction of those who were standing by. They plugged their ears and screamed and they hated him and they stoned him to death. We earnestly desire 2 Corinthians 5, 2 and 8. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We are confident, yes, we are well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're given a foretaste of, we are earnestly desire, we are to look for in 2 Peter 3. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. I'm looking forward to that. I know you are too. I've talked with many of you. We are to consider it far better than now in Philippians 1:23, for I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. And lastly, we are to put our treasure there. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 and 34. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thieves approach nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure tonight? Where's your treasure tonight? Let's pray. Father, just these brief thoughts concerning your word, concerning heaven. Many of us are closer to death's door than when we were born. Oh, Father, we just thank you for reaching down and bringing salvation. Thank you that Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for us. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. And so, Father, give us hearts that will put complete faith and trust in the God of the universe, the one who loved us and gave his Son for us, who sent the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you with our hearts, knowing it won't be long. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.